freedom is the right to tell what they do not want to hear. CNN, MSNBC, Fox News. Tired of the same repetitive government narratives? Then wave goodbye to the distractions and rhetoric of corporate media. For this is Anti-Media Radio.
But I want to get the language right.
The media government is in trouble.
What we need in the United States is not violence and lawlessness, but is love and wisdom and compassion toward one another.
What's your definition of meaning?
And now, here's your host, S.M. Gibson.
My name is S.M. Gibson. This is Anti-Media Radio. It is December the 13th, 2016. There's a lot going on in the news today. And most importantly is, of course, why not? Kanye West and Donald Trump were in the same room today. It's definitely the most entertaining thing I've heard this year. I don't know what it means. If it means anything, it's quite ludicrous and quite hilarious. I'm going to go ahead and bring on our co-host for the evening, Mr. Shannon Madden. Shannon, what is up?
What's up, Mr. Gibson? How you doing?
Can't complain, sir. And I'm going to also bring on Kevin Knight. Kevin, what's going on?
Hey, fellas. Good to be back with you.
So, the battle with Russia, fake news, it's all still kicking off pretty heavy.
Whoa. Why are we talking about any of that? You just said something about Trump and Kanye West. I think that's we should focus the whole entire show on that.
Hey, I'm open to that. I just don't know what else to say about it.
There's nothing to say about it. I mean, it's when anything like that happens, you have to wonder, okay, where everybody's talking about Trump and Kanye. So what's going on that everybody wants me to look at this for?
I don't even know. I think that was just Trump trying to, who knows, whatever.
I saw an interesting meme, thanks to Mr. One Ryan Butcher,
that we were speaking about.
The meme master. Yeah, we were talking about that
earlier.
The meme
god. What are you talking about? He is the meme lord of the internet.
Hey, I agree. He's a good few steps above master, that's for sure. He shared a meme earlier. I don't think he actually made this one. This is one of the few that I think he did not make. But the claim was that the reason why, of course, Kanye West is visiting with Trump is because Kanye is designing the new camp sweaters in camp. Outfit, apparently. I guess that probably really needs the meme, but if you've seen any of Kanye's drab-looking, almost prison uniform type thing with his really depressing look, yeah. It supposedly he's designing the next the prison camp uniforms for Donald, so I got a kick out of it. Guess you need to see it.
Quick question, who's a bigger narcissist, Kanye West or Donald Trump?
Oh, God.
That's a tough one.
It is. I felt like we've spent already too much time discussing Kanye West and
both of them, for that matter. We've got plenty to talk about with Donald Trump, but it ain't got nothing to do with Kanye West. Russia.
Man.
Russia did it.
I don't know if y'all saw the article in The Intercept, but they have challenged the people inside of the CIA to somebody blow the whistle or somebody release some information somebody do something to give any shred of evidence for all this stuff that's being talked, because as of right now, there's zero evidence. And the CIA, not the most reliable of sources for anything. Their job is to basically confuse people, and so they don't actually know what's going on and keep running around in circles. So, for some reason, people have really just bought this hook, line, and sinker. We're going to trust the CIA.
Oh, well, you know, I don't agree with the organization, but of course it's made up of real hard, good American men and women. That's what I seem to usually hear about criticism when you talk about the CIA and the stuff they're involved with. You still can't help but get a lot of the apologists that remind you that they're staffed by good Americans. This surely would not be going on in their country.
No, I'd like, do people have it in their head that Americans are like incapable of lying?
Yeah, apparently so. The photos of Abu Ghraib and down in Guantanamo Bay, of course, those aren't American troops that are acting on supposedly the behalf of the U.S. government and the U.S. citizenry. That's not them.
No, it couldn't be. And people try to make this some... It's because their internal belief system is being challenged, because they believe that for whatever reason... that the United States can do no wrong. And I hate to break it to people, but guess what? It's human nature. It doesn't matter what country you're in. It doesn't matter what nationality you are. There's good people and there's bad people. And guess what? Bad people can be inside the United States. And guess what? Bad people can be inside the United States that work for the government. It's possible. I know people have a hard time accepting that.
Possible.
Yeah. But as of right now, the whole, you know, it seems just like BS to me. But it's amazing how...
Hey, look, let me go ahead and get this straight real quick. How does Saudi Arabia get a pass with all of the interference and influence that they've given to American politics for decades now? And now suddenly Russia... which Russia didn't give any money to anybody. Russia didn't really do anything to influence anything. All they did was, if they actually did it, which we've seen reports from Assange himself that the sources were not of Russian origin.
Assange just said it a million times that it wasn't.
So, I mean, you know, that, and they pride themselves, WikiLeaks prides themselves on, you know, transparency as far as where their stuff comes from. They have challenged anybody to debunk where their information comes from, and nobody's been able to do it yet. So we know that the information is true and it is correct. And Assange is saying it's coming from a source different than Russia.
We've known forever. He's all but said it was Seth Rich. Now he hasn't.
Okay, look. Let's just take all that off the table. Let's go ahead and say, okay, yeah, Russia did it. Exactly what did Russia do? Russia did pretty much the same thing, almost on the same level that, well, Snowden did.
Well, that's what's even crazier, is if the entire argument that Russia's influence on the election was the fact that they hacked those emails and released them, like if they're saying that's the extent of it, that's insane. That's crazy.
And to be quite fair, anybody who voted in this election had their mind made up long before those leaks started coming out. That's my personal
opinion. I don't believe that, because I think there were a lot of Bernie supporters that would have voted for her that did not vote for her because of those leaks.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that their mind was made up before that, or they had decided upon a...
She lost a lot of third party votes,
you know.
I think she lost a lot of Democrat support over a lot of that stuff in there. Because, and yet, we're not talking about that in the leaks. It acknowledges, you brought up Saudi Arabia, it acknowledges that Saudi Arabia and Qatar are funding ISIS. And Hillary Clinton's taking $25 million from Saudi Arabia. Eh, whatever, no big deal. That's not getting... you know, shoved down people's throats every day. But, of course...
That's just a slightly inconvenient truth. Even though Saudi Arabia was the nationality of a vast majority of the hijackers on the planes on 9/11. Well, whatever.
Oh, yeah. You know, people are morons. I tell you
Thank goodness. Thank goodness we went to war. Oh, wait a minute. We went to war with Iraq. Never mind.
Speaking of which, I want to bring up a story we've got on the front page of the website right now, theantimedia.org. Congresswoman says U.S. is arming ISIS, introduces bill to stop it. So we talked about this a little bit last week, touched on it. But Tulsi Gabbard has basically been making the round, and she's got a bill right now for the United States to stop arming terrorists. And the name of the bill is Stop Arming Terrorist Act. It's actually her and Thomas Massey, who we talk about a lot on the show, is co-sponsoring the bill with her. And she spoke on the floor of Congress, and again, she's been making rounds on all the TV shows, the Sunday morning shows, and you know the late night Bill O'Reilly's. I don't know which show she was on. It wasn't Bill O'Reilly, but whatever. They all run together at this point. Explaining to everybody about how we have been open about funding organizations that are basically al-Qaeda, except when they're in Syria, they have a different name, so we act like it's not al-Qaeda. And as well as with the Saudis and how Barack Obama has sold Saudi Arabia $215 billion, with a B, dollars in arms since he's been in office. Mm. And, oh, I don't know if y'all heard, too. They decided they weren't going to, they're going to halt the sale of some arms to Saudi Arabia, they announced this morning, because disturbed about what's going on in Yemen. It's like, now you're worried about it? It's like you've got a month left in office and now you care? Shut up. Like, for real. I mean,
surely it'll be a ton of weapons that they don't send, right?
They've already sold $215 billion worth to them over the past 8 years. And
right, that's what I mean. They'll say it's a lot, but they'll probably, you know, there's no telling how many other weapons are going to continue to flow. This is probably just like one shipment that got lost and they're like, well, we're not funding them anymore.
Yeah, exactly. And look at what's been going on in Yemen. War crime after war crime after war crime. And, you know, they ignore it. Nobody talks about it because we've got to talk about Russia 24 hours.
No. Wait a minute. We're talking about it now because they're concerned about what's going on in Yemen. Concerned. You know, a lot of those bombs that have been dropping over there, which are, illegal munitions anyways, cluster bombs and whatnot, bear the Made in the USA seal.
They do. At least they're still making something in the USA, isn't it? Too bad it's weapons. Back to what I was talking about, the Tulsi Gabbard bill. God bless her for standing up and saying this, and Thomas Massey as well. But it's insane that this isn't the top story everywhere, and it's insane that this bill has to even exist. But we've been arming terrorists for so long, people either just don't believe it. That's the problem with what we're talking about with the CIA earlier. We go back to all this propaganda, and people just shrug their shoulders like, oh, that's not true. That's conspiracy. That's not happening. No, come on, they wouldn't do that. That's how people act. They wouldn't do that. They do it. It happens every day.
It has been happening for quite some time, too. I mean, this is not just a new thing that suddenly somebody, found a file and found out, oh, man, we accidentally sent a little money to ISIS. We created ISIS through our funding and through our training, through our weapons. I mean, I'm sorry that we created ISIS.
Well, and think about
it's been said here and it's been said abroad time and time and time.
ISIS would have never had the atmosphere to exist if not what have happened in Iraq, which guess what? We went to war in Iraq over a big giant lie. So it's just one lie after another. And people still live in this world like, no, never.
Yeah, that's just some of that tinfoil conspiracy talk. You need to get off the internet. Go read the Washington Post. They'll tell you the truth.
Oh, man. But this is stuff that if you just do a little bit of research, it's all admitted inside of Washington. It's all acknowledged, this stuff. Now, of course, when they get on TV and give their press conference, they're like, oh, we don't know what you're talking about. We're not there to take out Assad. We don't know what you mean. We're not trying to take Gaddafi out. That was just coincidence.
And, we didn't bomb a hospital.
No, we would never do such a thing. I don't understand. Like, for me, it doesn't matter if a politician comes out and goes, hey, well, today's Tuesday, I immediately question what day it is at that point. That's how much people lie. And yet we live in a world where people just accept it all as the truth. Once you're lied to over and over and over and over and over and over about everything, why do people believe anything anymore? And look, I don't know what Donald Trump is capable of, and I don't know what Donald Trump is going to do. But if I hear one more person go, Donald Trump's going to start a war, Barack Obama has bombed 8 countries. 8.
And you're it's not funny, but it's obvious. It's painfully obvious. Why? I mean,
right. Is that 9th country going to be the one that really sends you over the edge? I mean,
that's it, man. And where's the left on this? I know we've raised this question before, but where are they at? I was discussing the overthrow policy, the war policy with a couple of my friends that we kind of bump heads a little bit, but expected them to be anti-war. And it seems like these days that as long as you have a little bit of the right twist, anybody who's anybody who's everybody is going to be pro-war. And it's getting sickening. I can't help but agree that we dodged a bullet, I think, with Hillary. You know, maybe we're not looking down the barrel of Russia, but, you know, the question was posed if Hillary did not make it and Donald Trump did. Do we think we were going to be still heading to war with Russia? Do y'all think that's still even possible at this point?
I don't think it's going to happen. Now, I'll tell you
what. I don't either.
I'll tell you what I do think is a major, major concern is him being so antagonistic to China. And I think China is something to be very concerned about. And So,
with their ground troops or outnumber us, 3-1 or something like that?
Yeah. Well, it takes a lot of ground troops to get to the United States. So it would take a lot for Chinese troops to pose a risk here. But obviously, cyber war and such and trade wars and whatnot. But, you know, the United States is still and China are still huge trading partners. So, on the other flip side of that, it seems like maybe the U.S. is kind of driving a wedge in between China and Russia, who have kind of always been for a long time, kind of been willing to have each other's back with a conflict with the U.S.
You know, they're neighbors, you know, I mean, I think that would just geographically, it would benefit both of them to help each other out in a tight spot. If it really came to that, and both of them are, you know, armed to the teeth as far as nuclear arsenal goes.
Well, that's why I say I think the U.S. seems to be, as we kind of get a little less hostile to Russia and Gibson, like you said, a little more hostile towards China, or at least a little more antagonistic. Maybe we're going to see a little bit of widening between those two.
It's possible. I definitely think, though, what we're going to see a change for better or worse, whatever it's going to be. I think we are going to see a change in foreign policy. We didn't really see much of a change for the past 16 years between the Nobel Prize winner and the warmonger that had pretty much the same exact foreign policy. Bush and Obama, but I think Trump's going to have a different foreign policy, whatever that means. I do not know, and that doesn't necessarily mean a good thing. I mean, you look at Syria right now, and it looks like, I don't know if anybody's keeping up with what's going on in Aleppo. Assad's looking to wrap that up, and he's being very brutal about the way he's going about it. That is a terrible situation going on right now. But it looks like they're trying to put an end to the war, and it's that's just a bad situation that's going on there right now. But it doesn't appear that Aleppo is that's going to fall. It's pretty much already falling, but it looks like it's going to be all the way done, and it's very brutal the way it's going down. If anybody's kept up and seen some of the images of everything that's going on over there, but you know, the serious situation, what's going to happen with all that, I don't know. Trump says he's not going to support the funding and arming of all these quote-unquote rebels. We've got Tulsi Gabbard in the bill we talked about earlier, which goes back to the same thing. You know, that could be a really good thing that we're not at least inciting all this carnage around the world, especially the Middle East. But
I believe it when I see it. You know, Trump has said so many different things throughout his campaign. I believe it when I see it.
I'm worried they're going to try to pick a war with Iran. And that
you think? Trump was open to war with Iran during the debates.
Justify every bit of it. You know, George Bush came to power and was saying no more nation building. And look what happened. One terrorist attack and all of a sudden it's game on and we've got wars popping up all over the country. I, for one, don't believe Donald Trump or any executive has enough power to actually control the military or foreign policy. Sure, there's a lot of influence there, but when you've got organizations and globalists, I say globalists, when you've got people like in the Council of Foreign Relations, your Henry Kissinger's, your Zbigniew Brzezinski's, all these warmongers that have been in office and through decades of presidents and as is their influence, I just don't think that Donald Trump is going to be able to do much towards that. There's always that plausible deniability, and of course that's what Obama ran on several times when he claimed he didn't know about this or that. So,
and Hillary Clinton's made she's made a career out of plausible deniability.
Oh, of course. Oh, it's amazing how when something bad happens, they never know about it. But, you know, when it's something good.
Oh, I wasn't aware of that. I need to go back and check with my people on that.
Which I say.
I heard about it through the media.
I'm just now hearing about this. I'm going to go back and take a look at this right now.
I'll get back to you.
Also, I want to
have my people call your people.
Butcher's memes.
Now, if it was Trump, I think people would probably actually believe it because, you know, it's Donald Trump. Well, you probably did. You saw it on a meme somewhere. But I don't know. We're so screwed. I mean, we really are. I do think it's going to be a different foreign policy, though, because I think something's going to change. Now, that doesn't mean it's going to be a positive change. I don't know what it's going to be. But I do think we're going to see something different over there, especially, I mean, this whole Russia business. Is the CIA, are they going to try to drag us into a covert war with Russia? I mean, are we going to have a power struggle with the executive branch and the CIA like we saw very similar to when Kennedy was in office? You know, whatever people's beliefs on who killed him, how he got killed, and blah, 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 in 1963, at the end of the day, the CIA and Jack Kennedy were not very fond of each other.
Well, so, I do need to – I'm just going to throw this out here. I think we're going to get a new CIA director – excuse me, a new CIA director before too terribly long is what it sounds like.
Very possible. You know, and we'll see where that goes. But, you know, that may mean something. It may not mean something. Speaking of Trump appointing people, What's everybody's thoughts on Rick Perry being named to the head of the Department of Energy? Ironically, it is the department that he couldn't name in the debate. That's what's so hilarious about it.
Well, he's been studying up. I mean, obviously.
Well, but here's the thing I think people are missing with that whole story is, yeah, it's fun to make fun of Rick Perry, you know, because it is. It's funny to do so. But
it's easy.
He's on the board of directors of Energy Transfer Partners. For those of you who don't know what Energy Transfer Partners is, it is the oil company that is building the widely opposed Dakota Access Pipeline in North Dakota.
Yep.
So if that's not a conflict of interest, you know, I don't know what it is. But, and he also has, of course, the highly touted at this point, Rex Tillerson, Exxon's CEO, Secretary of State. You know, that's definitely not getting away from corporations.
No, that kind of sounds like doubling down on the Middle East. If we get to it, then again,
maybe not.
But the two of them may be under a mandate to kind of, you know, maybe bring it back home and see what we, as far as, you know, developing and using our own resources here. I don't know. I can't. Again, Trump has said so much during the debate, so much during this candidacy.
That's the thing with Trump, and we've been saying that you just don't know. You don't know. He could do some stuff right. He could do some stuff horribly wrong, and we could all end up in concentration camps or dead from a nuclear bomb, or it could work out great and everybody has all these great jobs. I genuinely don't know. I think more than likely it's going to be probably at the end of the day very similar once it's all said and done to what we've seen for 16 years now, ever since the world changed with 9/11. I think, of course, the show is going to be much different. Trump's going to put on a very, very different show for the cameras.
Oh, very elaborate, very dramatic, lots of great music and special guests. Yeah.
Right, because think about the show that Obama put on compared to the show that Bush put on. But at the end of the day, we're pretty similar, especially foreign policy-wise. You know, the same people are in charge. The same banks are getting their way. No one's really held accountable for anything. I think that's what we'll see with Trump again. But the show is going to be different. And you were talking about earlier, where is the left on being anti-war? Well, they're going to be anti-war again. Neat.
Well, that's good.
Yay!
That's good. It is good.
I'm glad.
Everybody needs to be anti-war.
And here's the thing,
I guess, but it's not real. It's not real. If they were anti-war, they would have said something while Obama was in office. And of course, some people have. But
yeah, they would have said something for the past 8 years. Yeah.
Well, certainly, you know, it's hard to disagree with that. But you know, Donald Trump is not run as a Republican. Well, excuse me, he ran as more of a populist, a right-leaning populist. But I believe he's probably going to govern more from the center. And I think, you know, knowing what we talked about. I know you said you thought the foreign policy was going to be a little bit different. If we do still continue to see the warfare state, with him running as a populist more than, say, a Republican or a Democrat, hopefully we'll see, you know, a little bit of the remnants of the anti-war right from Obama's time in office. And maybe we'll see some more from the left come together. This may be a good time for a coalition. I know I don't really put a lot of stock in him turning a lot of things around. So if anything, maybe he'll bring at least the opposition together.
It's hopefully it's possible. I still kind of feel, and who knows? Again, it's a giant question mark. But I still kind of feel the first year or two, things are going to go in his favor, and then it's somehow it's just going to fall apart. I think he's going to be two different people too. I mean, he's a politician. And people's like, well, he's not a politician. This guy's been a politician since the 80s. He just didn't run for office. He's all about branding himself. That's all he's ever been about.
He ran as an anti-globalist, and he's put globalists and technocrats and big oil people in his cabinet positions and surrounded himself with their influence. This guy is it's more of the same. More of the same. But I think you're right. The first year, it'll look good. He'll probably cook the books just like they did with the Obama administration's unemployment numbers. And then we'll start seeing the cracks. And at some point, they're going to show just like they did with Obama.
Well, you know, another possibility, too, is the market's so high right now that that's got to come down at some point. And when it does, it's going to come down hard, I think. When's that going to happen? You know, that could happen the day Trump takes office. I don't expect it will, because I think, you know, all the Wall Streeters and, you know, the banks, they're looking at Trump like, we're about to make some money. So, you know, it could, but I think it'll be a year, year and a half, 2 years. And it's going great. Everybody was wrong about Trump, and then it's all going to go bad. And then who knows? You know, we'll see. It's all speculation.
Give it to year five. He'll get reelected like most of them do often. And then year five, six, we'll start seeing it. And by six, I think more people that were on the board with Trump, you know, a lot of people are going to go back to sleep now that their guys got in office. I think it'll take a couple of years for them to really see that, hey, this is it's just another magic trick. It's just another resident in office and the powers that be. This thing is not going to turn around overnight, and I think it's going to be more of the same. So I think I'm optimistic, and then more people will see through this, and this is just another long chain of events to make people see that this is not going to work.
No, well, one thing I will say, and there's a lot of people, what you just said too, Kevin, was I think a lot of people are already expecting Trump will be reelected. And look, you can go back to the Kanye West thing. You know, everybody's saying Kanye is going to run in 2020. Well, today he tweeted out 2024, insinuating, I guess, that now he's not going to run in 2020 because he's with Trump. And so he's going to push it back 4 years. But
yeah, he was asked about that, and he said he just wanted to take a picture. Did you hear that?
Yeah, I heard. But
so,
think about
so what, how what, long... what cabinet position is Kanye West going to get? I wonder.
I don't know. I hope he becomes the press secretary, because that would be awesome.
That kind of would be a little dope, yeah. That would be very dope.
Him or Mike Judge or Luke Wilson. I'm hoping for one of them. Luke Wilson would be great if he just played his character straight off of Idiocracy. Like, because that's what I'm hoping for at this point. Let's just see how crazy it can get. Because why not? It's just a big show. So let's make the show really entertaining. So think about how long the past year has been. And if somebody would have told you in December of last year, everything would have seen and experienced, I don't think most people would have believed it. But we're going to have 4 years of this. So when people say, oh, no, Trump's going to win, there's no telling what's going to happen in the next 6 months, much less 4 years. Who knows? I don't think anybody can genuinely predict what's in front of us. We can all sit here and assume, and then of course you listen to the morons on CNN, oh, this was all some grand Russian conspiracy and it's whatever. That's just, you know, that's make-believe. That's not realistic. But who knows what is going to happen? I don't know.
I think we can all safely agree that the only thing that we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we're going to experience for the next 4 years is some of the sickest, dankest memes you've ever seen in your life.
Woo! Baby, I want to throw it up too that Rand Paul is promised to block John Bolton, as the Deputy Secretary of State. And that's one thing I don't think people are talking about. You know, everybody's like, John Bolton's going to be Secretary of State. They got now they got Exxon coming in. But John Bolton's been preaching some war with Iran for a while. And he's still very unapologetic and a fan of the Iraq war. I don't think that bodes well for what we've got going on over there either. And I think one thing that, like I was saying, I do think it's going to be a different foreign policy. I think they're going to shift focus off of Syria. I could be wrong, but I think they will. And but what I'm worried about is they're going to shift that focus towards Iran.
And it'll probably be more covert.
Oh, of course. It definitely will.
I mean, how else is he going to keep up the mirage of less foreign policy intervention, considering the state of things now, unless it's, you know, covertly, which, of course, is always going on. There's probably way more covert actions going on around the world than there are, you know, boots on the ground that we know about, surely.
Honduras.
Oh, shoot. Well, but it's, you know, every continent in the world.
Oh, yeah. Man. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. But think about, you know, we talk about, you know, Trump said this and this and this while he was running, you know, whatever that means. But one thing he definitely talked about was Iran. And he's like, that's the worst deal ever, and blah, 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 blah. He always would slam Iran. He would talk bad about Iran, and he would talk bad about China. And as far as foreign countries go, that's really, I guess, the extent of it. Early on, he had some words for Saudi Arabia, but that went away pretty quick. And we've already discussed it here that I think that's a friendship in waiting. The media over in Saudi Arabia, you know, has already gotten rid of a journalist that's been writing the same famous column there for 5 years, and he wrote one critical of Trump, and he don't write anymore. So, you know, I think Saudi
Arabia. What'd they do, like cut his hand off or something, or they cut your hand off or that sort of thing?
He got a new job at a post in a faraway country as an envoy to somebody completely different. They probably just shipped him off to do a different job somewhere else.
But, yeah, Iran, though, I think that's some serious business. And I think that is – I wonder how Russia would take the United States focusing on Iran, because that's an ally. What do you think about that, Kevin? Do you think Russia would get upset with the whole going after Iran? I would assume. I would personally assume they would.
Yeah, I would say so. Back during the Olympics, you remember back during the Sochi Olympics, there was some stuff going on between Iran, Saudi Arabia, and Russia, and there was threats from basically from Saudi Arabia. I know we're talking about Iran, but Saudi Arabia was having a conflict with Iran, and both of them had at different times discussed different groups acting in Russia, ironically, and then Russia turning around and bombing Israel in response. I don't know if you guys remember that, but they were talking about the terrorist organizations interrupting Sochi. So all that stuff is really conflicting, but I would think they'd be more pissed off about China. I don't think they're going after Iran as much. I think, like you said a minute ago, I think they'll concentrate on China or both, you know. That looks like the way it's headed. But who knows? What do they got to gain from China, from Iran? I mean, what does Russia – do we get a lot of – does Russia really benefit from strong ties with Iran like they do, say, Syria, some of the other countries? You know, they've got pipelines and oil wells and all that other stuff in Syria.
Well, I think Iran – for the foreign policy that's been enacted for the United States for 20 years now – it seems like they were always the last piece of the chessboard that they wanted. And you think about all the rhetoric we have heard for years and years and years about Iran. And look at Netanyahu. How long has Iran been weeks away? They're just, it's imminent, guys. It's imminent. Weeks. They're going to have a nuclear bomb within weeks. We know it.
And he wrote a whole book about that.
That has been said for 20 years. 20 years they've been saying that. It's about to happen. It's immediate. And, of course, the only reason that that's being said is because they want war with it. It goes back to the old Wesley Clark thing. They wanted to take out 7 countries, and Iran was one of them. And they've gone through the rest of them, have they not?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. I think there was one, I think, that's not as well known. I think that's the actions in Lebanon, but yeah, for the most part, they've got him. That's an interesting speech, and anybody should really look up. He gave that a few times, and this is not somebody, you know, it's not some grunt in the military or some conspiracy theorist. This is a 4-star general who's pretty well regarded in the military, and by, you know, his followers in the public.
And then he ended up turning around and supporting Hillary.
Oh, go figure.
Yeah, I know it. Which, that kind of disappointed me, honestly. I didn't expect that he would do that, but, yeah.
He's a statist at heart. You know, he came out against the Bush administration. So, you know, a lot of these, that's the game that they like to play, is the Democrat versus the Republican. And then, of course, when it really matters, it's all the same.
That's the sad reality of it. Speaking of which, I definitely want to hit on this. Everyone's favorite person in the world, Harry Reid, is now suggesting that Facebook and Google crack down on fake news. And his quote was, of course, speaking of freedom of speech, First Amendment, whatever. Maybe it's a slippery slope, but let's start going down the slope. Harry Reid, is suggesting that, because I guess the argument is what, fake news won Trump the election? I don't know. It's amazing to me that people are now just realizing for the first time ever that there's things on the internet that aren't true. Second off, I think this is the most insulting conversation in the world, because they're saying that, on the surface, what they're saying is that, well, people can't tell the difference between real news and clickbait. Some of that is probably true, but for the reason behind that is because the majority of what we see on corporate media is all make-believe. None of it's true. They're sitting here harping and harping and harping about what right now? The Russian connection and...
Russia did it.
Where's, you know, if every, your journalist out here, why don't you give some people some evidence instead of just giving your talking point from the script that you were handed?
Well, because it's the CIA. The CIA doesn't just make things up. Come on, man.
Okay. If this was the other way around and Hillary Clinton won, and the CIA came out and said, we know for a fact that the results were hacked and a foreign country messed with it. Do you think the media would even acknowledge it ever? Never. It would never.
The media would be talking about the sensational, like really, really super bizarre suicide that the director of the CIA experienced several days later.
Right. Sadly. So, where do you think the whole Facebook, Google, Twitter, social media, do you think they actually get away with this? I don't think it happens on the surface. I don't think there's going to really be, I think it's going to be like gun control. It's going to be something people talk about forever and ever and ever.
Well, they're testing the waters, and, you know, like a lot of this stuff gets done by fiat and slow techniques.
It's already happening. First off, it's already happening, and it's being done with algorithms. people need to understand that Facebook can control who sees what at the end of the day. We've had periods of time on the anti-media Facebook page where every post you made, when you had a million followers, every post you made, every single one was seen by half a million people. Or, you know, sometimes much more. And now we're almost at 2 million, and we're lucky if a post reaches 100,000 people now. So this has already happened. This is already being done. What they are obviously concerned about is not fake news. What they're concerned about is news getting out to people that is true, that they don't want people knowing about or talking about. And that's really what hurt Hillary Clinton, because we all know that the CNNs of the world didn't say anything negative about Hillary for the entire election. It was just, she's great, she's wonderful, she's the most experienced person ever. Oh, this is just—
and the first chance that we could have a woman president. And she hung her hat on that one, especially very early, you know, in those, if you want to call them, debates between her and Bernie Sanders. Those were very mild, they were just completely unwatchable. There was no real information. Bernie, you know, up there waving his magic wand and, look, we're going to give everybody free this and free that, free this. And Hillary talking about, well, I'm the woman candidate. I mean, you know, come on. I mean, what else do I need to talk about? You know, yep, y'all know what I did. I'm the woman candidate. And then it suddenly changed to Russia did it.
Well, you know, but yeah. So anyways, but we saw corporate media. There was nothing said bad about her. And yet social media, there was nothing said good about her. And social media was nothing but just, Hillary's this, she's done this. Did you hear what this thing she did? Did you see this WikiLeaks email? Did you hear about this DNC leak? And it was just this constant flow of negative information about her. And there's so much of it that it just filled news feeds. And if you went, it, you know, I wish people would have paid attention to it at the time, but it was one of the obvious reasons that we had the outcome of the election we did. It, just going on Twitter, or you go on Facebook, and if you were to look at all the replies and comments to something that Trump said, whatever it was, crazy or just, you know, pretty tame, you would get, of course, people in there that hated Trump, but you had just tons of people that loved him. Then you'd go to a Hillary post. It was just constant. Everybody, you're a horrible person. Why are you alive?
And bear in mind, she did have a few, you know, few supporters that would pop up and, you know, kind of display a slightly smarmy, I'm so much better than you because I have an informed candidate and you people just, you just.
She didn't really, though. She didn't have any hard.
There were a few, just like there were, you know, a few Gary Johnson supporters and Jill Stein supporters. They weren't even close to near as vocal as the Trump supporters and the Bernie supporters online. Plain and simple. But, you know, what my point is when they would pop out every once in a while, they just kind of have this smarmy, we've got it all figured out. Don't you worry. Hillary's going to be the president. You're being silly over there.
The media turned into the most
butthurt out of all of the I guess you could say, presidential fans. The lefties, man, the ones that actually really honestly pulled for Hillary Clinton, there were a few of them. Man, at the butthurt. Gosh.
Well, this is why, you know, what's really hilarious is the exact same people right now that are giving this whole Russia spiel are the exact people that, A, said she will 100% be the president. He will never, ever, ever, ever win. That's impossible. And the elections can't be hacked. That's impossible. That's Donald Trump's crazy that he's even insinuating that's a possibility. That was their line. And then they were so wrong, so wrong. And they are taking the ride again to be so wrong once more because they can't accept that they were that stupid. And that's truly what it is. People can't accept that they didn't see the writing on the wall. That has nothing to do with Donald Trump as what he's going to be or where we're going or how horrible this could get. This has to do with the reality of that election and what was in front of us. And people didn't want to live in reality. They wanted to live in their cocoon where they think everything's this one grand, you know, this grand and wonderful thing. And, oh, this is just the way it is because I'm so smart. You're a moron because guess what happened? Reality happened. And these exact same people that believed all these lies because they were so smart, they're doing it again. Well, it's Russia. It's Russia. It's Russia. And it's the exact same people. Like, did you not get enough punishment being wrong? You want to be this, you want to just do this all over again? And I think that's what's so frustrating about it. They just can't let it go. They want to have recounts. What was the point of that? The point of it is to make the true legitimate point of it is because the people funding the recounts, the people repeating over and over and over that it's Russia and they hacked the election is because they want it to appear on the surface that Donald Trump is an illegitimate, should not be the president of the United States. And they want the United
Now, having said that, we all, I think, can safely agree, though, that he's not the best choice for that person to be sitting
there. Well, of course not. That's not what we're talking about. Again, I get it. I get that. And this is every time we talk about something, because we live in this world where everybody's so sensitive about everything that you have to, every time you say anything about something, you have to then turn around and go, well, but, you know, look, we all get it. Donald Trump sucks. They all suck. They all lie. That's what politicians are. But we have to start calling reality what it is. And because people don't want to be looked at a certain way because they're going to go, oh, you're a Trump supporter because you didn't think this or this or this. It's like, shut up. Shut up. Stop believing a bunch of lies. And more importantly, you would rather have not people look at you a certain way so you live on, you know, some other planet and you don't know anything that's real going on in the world. What you have all these falsehoods because that's what I heard on TV.
People well, and I've got to throw this out there. What happened to the sentiment when Obama became president? And there were a lot of butthurt right wingers. The sentiment, you know, hey, everybody's got to, whether you like it or not, you've got to support your president. He is your president. He is president of the United States, and he deserves all of the credit credentials and so on and so forth. And they have thrown that out the window.
They throw it. This is how it works.
I mean, which way do you want
it? This, these same people that are going to magically be anti-war all of a sudden didn't give two crap for the past 8 years. This is how the division works in this country. And this is why the two-party system works so well for the people in power. Because you get the same coin with different sides of the same coin for 8 years. And yet people think that they've got all these huge differences between them. And, oh, it's going to be this. And, oh, it's going to be that. And it never works out that way. But they believe it. There's people out there that talk about how Barack Obama is the greatest president ever. Give me half. Who thinks that? Who thinks that? Did you think George Bush was a great president? Because if you didn't, then I don't know how you think Barack Obama could be much different. They had very similar times as president. Obama's biggest achievement was his stupid health care bill. That is a
train wreck.
Right.
That nobody likes. Yeah, I mean, you know, we had 16 years of pretty much the same government. And except for Obama took the same thing that, you know, that George Bush had, you know, kind of started up a little bit, the bailouts, war in the Middle East, so on and so forth. and amped it up beyond epic proportions. We're all over the Middle East right now.
Well, yeah, and we're not saying, look, this isn't just the past 16 years thing either. That's the thing. This is happening.
True. It's now reached the zenith, and something's going to have to be done about it. And I really don't know. I don't know that you know, Donald Trump, with a lot of the rhetoric, xenophobic rhetoric, I might add, at the beginning of the campaign, that I don't know if he's going to back down from that and suddenly start wising up and, hey, let's just pull all of our troops out of the Middle East. We don't need to plan
that.
No, absolutely not. There's so much money. It's so much corporate influence in that area right now. No, they're just not going to simply pull out. It's just not going to happen. That's with any candidate on the table. However, we did know with Hillary Clinton, that's exactly what we were going to get. And more.
Right. And that's the thing with Trump. I think there is a question mark of what it's going to be. But when it comes to like pulling troops out, that's not going to happen. But I think there's going to be different influences around the Middle East. And I think things are going to be played. I think the game's going to be played differently over there. But nobody's pulling out of there. That's not happening. Barack Obama put on a big show about how we left Iraq. But that didn't happen. Trump's not leaving these countries. I think it's just going to be a different focus, a different agenda. And he's probably going to be way more open about getting off from these countries. Because how many times has he said, well, we shouldn't have been in Iraq, but... And then we were there, we should have at least grabbed all the oil from him. And then he goes and put Exxon CEO as a Secretary of State. So, you know, what do people think's about to happen over there? They're going to just start bleeding everything dry. But I think they're going to do it in – I don't think they're going to do it the way it's been done. Troops aren't leaving, no.
Real quick, before we get off the air, we need to go ahead and dispel the Trump ending the Fed. We actually talked about this off air before the show. Go ahead and everybody kind of throw your thoughts up real quick before we leave on that, because that's probably something we might want to touch on before we go.
That is an actual fake news story going around the internet. That's not going to happen.
Nope. Never.
And where did this originate from? And
he said something really small about the Fed like a while back, I think, when pressured. Your Newswire, which is a fake story, picked it up and ran with it. They talked about Napolitano being elected to office, you know, way before, you know, Trump, we even realized he probably would make it. And of course, people were talking about, well, if Napolitano gets it in, well, he'll end the Fed. But I mean, there's like literally like nothing. I think a few websites picked that up and ran, like Your News.
Oh, yeah. That's made up too. And I think the biggest thing people really like latched on to with it was when Ted Cruz missed the audit the Fed vote, who, you know, he was supposedly so anti-Fed, and he missed the audit the Fed vote, and Trump tweeted out about it, about how dare Ted Cruz miss that vote. And I think, and then at some point he made some subtle remarks about the Fed, but that was it. And that's where this is all built from. And I think people are so desperate to have somebody go after the Fed that they've built it up, you know, in their heads. And then it's not true. It's not going to happen.
He's not going to. No candy in that van, kids. No candy in that van.
I am curious to see how he does treat the Federal Reserve. And if if Yellen's gone, but
are we headed toward a one world currency?
No, we've been headed towards that for a while.
I don't think you are with Trump for right now, because he's pushing such a nationalist agenda, especially with the Brexit. We're seeing that all over. Anyway, that's it for us. We'll finish this conversation on Thursday. For Kevin, for Shannon, I am SM Gibson. This is Anti-Media Radio. Out. I'ma let them know through the stereo. Yo, here we go through the stereo.